reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour has come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you." The Gospel of the Lord. This day we enter into the Triduum, the 3 days, the holiest time of the church year, where we celebrate with even a greater intensity the Paschal mystery of Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. And this time set apart isn't a time for merely remembering or reenacting, but it is a time when we're invited into and to become part of the Paschal mystery, to allow the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to more fully permeate the marrow of our bones, to become part of the Paschal mystery, and in turn, let it become part of us. And we begin the Triduum with celebrating and pondering the life of Jesus. His whole life and ministry is encapsulated in this gospel passage that we just heard. Jesus' whole life and entire ministry was one of love and service. And he now ritualizes his entire life of love and service in the washing of the feet. And by doing so, he gives yet another example of love and service, not only given to the disciples of long ago, but this example is given to you and to me and to Christians everywhere. In this gospel, Jesus is well aware of the fate that lies ahead of him. He knows his hour has come. The betrayal will occur. He will give his life the next day in love for his own. And Jesus acts out this parable of self-giving love that he will give the next day on the cross. He enacts it in this parable acting in the washing of the feet of the disciples, another action of humble, self-giving love. He gives his disciples then and today the example of one willing to go to any lengths for love of one another, even if it means giving all of what one has, even one's life. And this is the commandment that he gave to all disciples of all times, both the original 12 and countless more disciples throughout the ages, tracing the line of history up to ourselves and beyond. We heard that Jesus removed his outer robe and assume the task that is normally reserved for those of no esteem in a household, the task of a slave, or in a patriarchal society, a task for a woman. And Jesus aligns himself with those who are not seen to be fit to be given any esteem. And Jesus counts himself among those people, and he bids his disciples to do the same. No wonder Peter objected. No doubt Peter didn't want Jesus to be humiliated in performing such a lowly task for him. No doubt Peter's love, respect, and esteem for Jesus motivated his objection. But Peter was also caught up in the power structures that can ensnare all of us. I mean, there's supposed to be a pecking order, isn't there? Those who are the boss or held in great esteem, they shouldn't be doing degrading tasks for their inferiors. That's a job for those lower down on the totem pole. Generals don't do chores for privates. That's just not how it is. Generals have colonels. Colonels have majors. Majors have captains and so forth down the line. And that's what Peter's trying to communicate to Jesus. But Jesus tells Peter, no, Peter, that's not how it's going to go with me. And to be a part of my mission, you have to let me do this, Peter. Let me show you how much I love you. And still, Peter just doesn't get it. Okay, he says, but wash my hands and my head too. So give me more love than just washing my feet. Oh, Peter, don't you see? I love you all. There's no pecking order in my love. I just love. My love is poured out like the water in this basin, and through the wine and bread that I give, it's poured out just as much as it will be poured out in love tomorrow. Peter, love doesn't play favorites. It just is. Let me love. Let me love you. Let me love all of you. And now I give you a new commandment. Love as I have loved you, without reservation, without restriction, no limits, no pecking order. Remove your robe of power, of prestige, of hesitancy, hurt, or remorse, whatever it is that holds you back from loving one another fully. As I have done, so you must do. The Jewish writer and Nobel Peace Prize winner, Elie Wiesel, he tells a very haunting story in one of his books of just such a type of loving service. Once after he had delivered a lecture in New York, he met a man who looked vaguely familiar, and he began to wonder who he was and where they had met before. And then he remembered. He'd known him before in Auschwitz. And suddenly an incident involving this man came blazing back to him. As soon as children arrived by train to Auschwitz, together with the elderly and the sick, they were immediately selected for the gas chamber because they weren't of any use for the labor needed. And on one occasion, a group of children were left to wait by themselves until the next day. And this man asked the guards if he could stay with the children during their last night on earth. And surprisingly, his request was granted. And how did they spend their last night? Well, he started off by telling the children stories in an effort to cheer them up. However, instead of cheering them up, he succeeded only in making them cry. So what did they do next? They cried together. They cried together until daybreak. And then he accompanied the little ones to the gas chamber. And afterwards, he returned to the prison yard to report for work. And when the guards saw him, they burst out laughing for his wasting his night of sleep in doing an act of kindness. And this true story has the marvelous example of service done to those deemed inferior. Service given freely and without restraint. The example of loving service that Jesus valued so highly and which he communicated so well in this gospel. The man's heroic act of service towards the little ones shines out all the brighter because of the darkness of the background. In Auschwitz, all that was good and decent was trampled into the ground, and their self-interest was the name of the game. Compassion. Compassion was as rare as a flower in winter. And yet this man rose above all that. He risked his life to befriend the children. He had no answers to give them, no salvation to offer them. All he could do was accompany them during their last hours so that they would not suffer alone. This man is a Christ-like figure. He would not participate in evil, and neither would he stand idly by and watch others suffer without trying to alleviate their sufferings, even though he couldn't do anything to change the end result. Even though he was an ordinary prisoner with no rank or status, he was undoubtedly the greatest person in that sad place on that very sad day. What made him great was his simple goodness and care. And Jesus knew that he had this one last night with his friends, one last night to teach, one last night to impress upon them the meaning of his mission. He knew that this was his final night with his friends, and probably knowing that final memories are often the strongest, he gave his final wish before he died. Love one another as I have loved you. As I have done, so you must do. The Lord of all, come to serve. No wonder Peter didn't get it. How could he? People serve God, and yet in today's readings, all of these readings, we'll speak of a God who does nothing but love and serve humanity. In the first reading that will be proclaimed from Exodus, God protects the Hebrews from death. In the letter to the Corinthians, Paul recalls Christ, who gave his body and blood as food for our souls. And in John's Gospel, we hear of the Lord of all, who would stoop to wash the dirt from our feet. And all we can do is stand in awe and marvel at such a loving God. I think it's important that the church has John's Gospel selected as tonight's Gospel. John's Gospel is the only Gospel that does not have the institution narrative. We hear that in Paul's letters to the Corinthians, take and eat, take and drink. Now, of course, John's community knew to take and eat and take and drink. But I think to hear only those words might make us complacent into thinking we should just sit back and receive love, take and eat, take and drink. But by selecting John's rendition of the Last Supper, we're reminded that while we do receive God's love without any merit on our own, our thanksgiving for that love as expressed in our own self-emptying service to others. Having received the gifts of God, we give them away. They flow from God through us to others. So tonight, when the water flows over our feet, may we say amen to loving as Jesus loves, without partiality, without limit. And may we commit to serving as he served. As we say amen when we receive the body of Christ, let us also say amen to becoming bread, broken for the world.